translation, being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansions and expansions of the expansions. Their holy names are Rama, Lakshmana, Bharat, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the son of Maharaj Dasarath. Please repeat. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasarath. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Ramachandra and his brothers, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadi, Anantarupam. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan. The Lord is situated in many forms as Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, Shatrughna, and these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personality of Godhead, and they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, who, being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful because the sons of Maharaj Dasarath Lord Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, who, being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful, became the sons of Maharaj Dasarath in response to the prayers of the demigods. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilita Vyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapti Tam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swam Padati Kam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is a very, very, very auspicious and very wonderful day for Vaishnavas, not only in ISKCON but all around the world. The incarnation of the Lord, known as Ramchandra, and his brothers Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, all Vishnu Tattvas, descended into this material world to perform their wonderful transcendental pastimes. It says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata bhutanam madharmasya dadatmaham srajamiyaham Pavitranayan sadunam vinasanay saduskritam dharma samstarpanartayam sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord makes this statement Himself in order to let us understand two things: His mission to destroy your religion when your religion becomes, what we say, not able to be destroyed by anyone, including the demigods, when the Lord descends. And He also comes to give pleasure to His devotees and to enact His transcendental wonderful pastimes. This advent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is glorified everywhere, not only in what we say Vedic culture, but many of the offsprings of the Vedic culture in different areas of the world, especially in the area of Asia. Practically every Asian country has some form of let me say, explanation, story, pastime of Lord Ramachandra, using different names, slightly different approaches to the pastime. But the Lord is so glorious in this particular form that it goes beyond even the Vedic, the direct Vedic understanding of our experience. There's so much to say about this wonderful pastime. I would just like to narrate the whole pastime from beginning to end, but I don't think there's enough time. I really don't. So in order not to somehow have to stop somewhere, I'm going to speak a little bit about some of the messages that we can learn from this pastime. And there are many, 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 what we say, deep, essential, philosophical and practical understandings that we can learn from the Lord. Because the Lord not only gives pleasure to His devotees, but He helps us understand the teachings of the principles of the execution of devotional service. King Dasarath was the king of the world. Ayodhya was a glorious city. It was 90 miles square in area, and it had everything that anybody could possibly want in forms of material opulence, religious worship, glory, victory, pious and very chivalrous leaders, saintly personalities, wonderful citizens that were very much allegiant to their king. So many things, an ideal place in all respects. But there was a somewhat of an unhappiness that was pervading that place. And that is Dasarath, although having wives who were all very qualified in so many ways, there wasn't any male heir to the throne. And Dasarath was getting old. And so he was thinking, what is the use of everything if I cannot bring continual, what we say, rain and success to the area by bringing in a glorious sun? And so he was terribly morose, completely. He couldn't find happiness, although there was so much around him that would facilitate anyone's happiness. Still, he wasn't able to find that happiness he was looking for, because he felt, and this is essential for a ruler, they must produce someone who was qualified to what we say, follow them, to lead on the legacy that they have established. And so, by the mercy of the great sages, by the mercy of one great sage, Rishyasringa, who performed a wonderful sacrifice. But actually it was the will of the devas. The devas actually wanted the Lord to descend in this world, because the world had been overburdened with many, what we say, irreligious forces in the form of Rakshasa armies. But one particular personality whose known was Ravana. Ravana, the word Ravana means one who makes other people cry. That's the actual literal translation of the word. And so, the devas, using the opportunity of Dasarath and his piety and his desire to bring into the world a son, arranged for a very powerful sacrifice. And from that sacrifice, four illustrious sons, Ram, Lakshman, Bhart, and Shatrughna, Vishnu Tattvas. Some people give different understandings of their identity within the spiritual world. Some say Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna. Others say it's Vishnu with his weapons coming. But whatever the acharyas say is correct, because there can't be any contradiction in the spiritual sense. Two things can be simultaneously right and be contradictory at the same time. That is the nature of spiritual life, spiritual principles. And so they came in these illustrious personalities, all good qualities. And the three principal queens, actually Dasarath had 350 wives, where three of them were principal: Kaushalya, Kaikeyi, Sumitra. And they were given the opportunity to bring forth these wonderful sons. From Kaushalya, Ram was born. From Kaikeyi, Bart was born. And from Sumitra, Lakshman and Shatrughna appeared. And they grew up with all good qualities, and everyone loved them so much. Even the mothers of the other sons loved the other sons of other mothers just as much as they loved their own sons, and even more in the case of Ram. That's how much affection that Ram attracted, actually, for everyone. Dasarath was, to use a very glib statement, over the moon. He was so happy. His life had become completely successful. All his desires became completely filled. His kingdom felt like now everything has become a success. All my piety, all my chivalry, all my success is now manifested in these illustrious sons, especially Lord Ram. He was so happy. He was unbelievable. And the citizens were so happy, not only for themselves, but for the king. This is love. When one feels happiness for another person's happiness, one feels happy for another person's gain. They were all happy for their king, and also benefited by such a wonderful, what we say, descent into their lives. But, of course, as time went on, there are many, many wonderful pastimes. Of course, when Vishwamitra Muni came and he wanted to use Ram and Lakshman to come into the forest, because the Rakshasas, headed by Subhaha Maharishi, were defiling the sacrifices. And being a powerful Kshatriya, a Brahmana, and formerly a Kshatriya, he had the power to destroy these Rakshasas, but he didn't do it because he didn't want to break his meditation, his mood as a Brahmana. And therefore he went to King Dasarath and requested his sons to come and assist him. Dasarath was unable to accept that offer. And he tried in so many ways to somehow or other dissuade Vishwamitra from his request. But none of the arguments worked. Finally, he was thinking, what should I do? His minister, Vasishtha, came up to him and whispered in his ear, Ram is Vishnu Tattva. Don't worry, he's coming back. Of course, after that, he forgot it because of his personal, parental, loving affection of the father for the son. But at the time he heard it, his heart became satisfied or peaceful. And of course, on the direction of Vishwamitra, they came and destroyed, killed Subhaha, and knocked Maharishi 800 miles into the ocean. They were only 16 years old, just young boys, never really in combat before. They had come back. Now Dasarath was getting old, and he was thinking, what should I do? Soon I will be leaving this world. I shouldn't wait any longer. Ram is loved by so many. He's fully equipped to lead the kingdom. He's been trained in so many ways. He has all good qualities. He's loved by everyone. He's righteous. He's graceful. He's respectful. He's chivalrous. He's fully equipped with all good qualities, both of Brahminical and Kshatriya nature. Sometimes we see people have good qualities in one aspect of existence, But Ram had both Brahminical qualities and Kshatriya qualities combined. And so it was coming to that time. Then something very strange happened. You know, when things are going good, sometimes you should expect something else to happen. This is the way life is. If things are going too good, be careful. That means you need to take more shelter. Because you can expect, because this is the material world. And that's just the way life is. And the material energy is always looking for opportunities. So, using a very simple, what we say, most obscure personality, everything changed. Everything changed. Ram's favorite queen out of the three was Kaikeyi. She was the youngest, and she was the most visited by Dasarath. Dasarath would go to see Kaikeyi every night. That was his favorite queen. He would spend as much time as he could with her. He would also give time to the other queens too. And even though she was not the mother of Ram, and he was going to be the successor, still, it was his favorite queen out of the three. And she had many maidservants, but one of the maidservants was a hunchback personality named Mantara. If you feel unhappy hearing that name, that's good. Because you should. Many people after in the kingdom became unhappy just thinking about that name. Well, Mantara, she had somehow reached a certain level of respectability and became very well successful because of being the maidservant of Kaikeyi. And she had all facilities. It says, sometimes it says the servant enjoys on the same level as the master. But she had respect, and she was a hunchback. She had no physical attraction at all. No one would even consider it, even looking at her twice. But now she had some position, she had some influence, she had some wealth. But she was thinking, now Ram is going to be installed on the throne. What will happen to me? Ram is the son of Kaushalya, not the son of my master. Therefore, I'll be pushed to the side. I'll have to be the maidservant. Kaikeyi will be the maidservant of Kaushalya, and I'll be her maidservant, and I won't be able to receive any of the benedictions I get now. I'll be pushed on the side. She was thinking, this is intolerable. So, being of that nature, she decided to do something. Burning with envy, she went to associate with her master, Kaikeyi, and said to Kaikeyi, don't you understand there's a great calamity about to descend upon your head, and you're sitting here laughing and feeling happy? Don't you know you're in complete illusion? Yeah, that's basically what she said. She practically said that death is about 1 minute away and you're having a party, to use an analogy. That's what she said. And Kaikeyi couldn't understand. What are you talking about? Actually, everyone is happy. Tomorrow, Ram will be installed on the throne, and because of Ram's qualities, the kingdom will continue to grow and flourish under his rule. And Dasarath will retire from activity. Everyone will be benefited. He'll be the prince regent. And the kingdom will continue to flourish. And I love Ram just as much as I love my own son, Bart. But Mantara wouldn't hear it. She kept speaking to her about what will happen. Bart will be second class. Ram will consider Bart his enemy because Bart is more qualified than Ram. She kept speaking like this. And in such a way, she's gradually... And Kaikeyi didn't want to hear this. But because she continued to associate with this poison, It said, even if you're a good person and you have good qualities and you have no evil intentions, if you associate with persons like that, you can be affected. Just by that association. Bad association is what we say, the way to destroy everything. Just to divert from the story a little, this is how you fall down in Krishna consciousness. You start to associate with those who do not really practice devotional service or have what we say the enjoying spirit. And gradually through that association, you start finding fault. And when you start finding fault, you start committing offenses. And when you start committing offenses, then it's just a matter of time where devotional service loses its attraction. This is the process of falling down. It starts with wrong or bad association. There was nothing wrong in Ram, and Kaikeyi knew it. But still, because of the poison coming from Mantara, and she listened, and Mantara was very, very, what we say, convincing. And then, gradually, she became of the same mind. Basically, what Mantara said is that Ram will feel Bart as being his competitor, and therefore he will kill Bart and also push you aside. She couldn't believe that. How is it possible that Ram could even think of like that? Why are you speaking like that? But then Mantara started to speak in such a convincing way. So Prabhupada would many times say, we all know that Mayavad philosophy is like poison. Krishna, Mayavadi, Krishna Aparadi. Lord Chaitanya said, better to be in a cage full of wild animals or drink poison willingly than associate with the Mayavadis. But we know. But still, that association can change the mind of even a staunch Vaishnava. If they, what we say, submissively, that's the point, submissively listen to the poison. Kaikeyi did. And gradually, she changed completely. She became just as convinced of Ram's falsities, she became just as convinced of the false nature of Ram than Mantara. Although everything was completely different. Bad association. And it's also the power of envy. When envy enters the heart, one becomes unhappy. Envy caused us to become unhappy. And Mantara couldn't find any happiness in everything she had, and she caused the same thing to happen to Kaikeyi. When Kaikeyi broke the news to Dasarat, first she asked him for a benediction. He was willingly accepted. He willingly granted the benediction she wanted. She had saved his life on the battlefield many years ago. When he was wounded, she treated him on the battlefield and saved his life. He offered her two benedictions. She said, I'll take these benedictions at another time. Now she found this time was, and Mantara reminded her of that. Sometimes people remind you of the wrong thing. Even though you have completely forgotten and it doesn't exist within your life, people remind you, don't you remember what that person did to you 200 20 years ago? No, something like that. In other words, 12 years ago. Don't you remember you were walking out the door of Bhaktivedanta Temple and that person failed to hold the door and they hit you in the head? There's that same person again. Something like that. That's an exaggeration. But the point is, you know, people like to remind us, either directly or indirectly, of something that is not important, that can cause our mind to be unhappy. So that's what she did to Kaikeyi. And Kaikeyi became like a completely... She was the favorite queen of Dasaran. She was on top. Even more loved than Kaushalya. Although Kaushalya was the mother of Ram. And then, when she broke the news to Dasarath, after he had given the promise, Dasarath he couldn't believe it. Am I hearing actually what you're saying? She was determined. She had been poisoned. Now, and she threatened him. She knew his weakness. What was his weakness? He was a Kshatriya, and he never broke his word of honor. The word of honor of a Kshatriya is glorious. Nowadays, people say things, but when situations become less favorable, maybe what I said is not the best thing. Maharaj, will you come for lunch today? Yeah. Uh-oh. Maybe I shouldn't go because I know she can't cook. Excuse me, but I'm sick today. Can't make it. I don't do that, but anyway. You can come up with some reason not to do what you're supposed to do, right? And make it look like you're supposed to do what you're not supposed to do and not supposed to do what you're supposed to do. You know, you can actually convince yourself that it's not so bad. Yeah, the subtleties. So, Ram Dasarath, he was speechless. He was like a child that was that had lost everything in life. He couldn't talk. And now she told him, you break the news to Ram. He has to go to the forest for 14 years. And Bart will be installed on the throne. Dasarath said, put Bart on the throne. That's fine. But why are you sending Ram to the forest? What fault that he has done that you want to send him away? He couldn't take that part of it. He tried to make a compromise. All right, we'll give Bart the throne. That's fine. I can accept that. Although I don't want it, but still, I'll accept that much. But sending Ram to the forest, why? Why do you want to banish Ram? Everyone loves Ram. She couldn't get it out of her mind that somehow or other Ram wouldn't be pleased with Bart being on the throne and he would do something to act. So, finally Ram came into the chamber and she said, speak, tell him what you're supposed to tell him. He became like a dancing dog in the hands of his envious wife. He couldn't respond. He couldn't even talk. He was so much overwhelmed with lamentation and anguish, at the same time thinking about what would happen, not only to Ram, but to the kingdom. And the story is so full of dynamics of interpersonal relationships. They're just going back and forth with the mood of promise and honor, respect and disgust. The Ramayana is just so deep with interpersonal loving relationships from all angles. Please read it. We have our Krishna Dharma Prabhu here in the audience, so I want to personally thank him for making that Ramayana available to us. It is the way he presented that. It is really amazing. I think he was empowered by Ram directly to write that. It is amazing. I'm reading it again. I stood in front of the deities for every year during Ram Navami, or prior to Ram Navami, and I say, I would like to read your pastimes again. But every year I don't do it. This year I did. I said, I'm going to read the Ramayana again, and I'm really appreciating what Krishna Dharma Prabhu has brought in print. It's really, really speaks the mood of the pastime so deeply and so powerfully. And When Ram heard the news spoken by Kaikeyi, he couldn't hear it. Dasarath wouldn't say it to himself. He said, if this is what my father wants, then fine. That's fine. He was not attached to the position. He was attached to obedience. That's the point. He simply wanted to obey his father's will and go to the forest. He was ready. The next day was actually the coronation, and he would be sitting on the throne, ruling the world practically. But when he heard that his father had a different idea and wanted him to go to the forest and put Bart on the throne, he said, so be it. Fine. Not attached to position. Important point. Many times we think that if I have position, then I can have facility, and if I have facility, I can fulfill my desires. Yeah. Sometimes we strive for position. Better to strive for bhakti. Striving for position can cause one to go down. And it's not the mood of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is not interested in position. Vaishnava is interested in the position of becoming Das, Das, Anudas. Srinada, Pisa, Nichena. The opportunity for service is the only position we should strive for. Because that is the position of our nature, to simply be able to serve when in any way that is required. And Ram was thinking, if this is what I'm supposed to do, and this is the will of my father, then so be it. And then he went and broke the news to Lakshman. Oh, Lakshman was so angry. He was beyond himself. He took his sword out when he heard about what had happened and how it had happened. He was going to kill Kaikeyi. Ram said, just relax, slow down a little bit. And he pacified him in so many ways. And Lakshman said, well, if you're going to go to the forest, then Ayodhya is not a place for me. I'll be with you in the forest. He had such allegiance to Ram. He was willing to give up his nice position. And Sita, the same thing. When she heard, Ram went to her and spoke the same words. It broke her heart. But at the same time, she got this little inspiration to think, I can't leave you. It's the duty of a wife never to leave her husband. Even in the most difficult situations. Sometimes it's nice or it is pleasing when things are going good between husband and wife. And there's some, what we say, smoothness. Things are not going nice. But when things are, there are challenges, obstacles, and difficulties, that's the real test of the relationship. That's the real test of the relationship, when things are going difficult. When one has to cannot see beyond the immediate experience how to deal with it. And one has to take shelter of religious principles and ultimately the mercy of the Lord and the mercy of the devotees. That's the only way to somehow or other work through the difficulties and actually gain the mercy of the Lord and advancement in Krishna consciousness. Not that we should pray for difficulties, but there are opportunities. You look, the whole Ramayana is filled with difficulties. One thing after another. It's just one thing at one calamity, one heartbreak, one disappointment, one reverse after another. But every time it's accepted and it's acted upon, there's some glory in it. Amazing. This is the nature of the world, that you're always put into difficult situations. Ram was put in a difficult... Sita was really put in a difficult situation. What was her situation? She was a princess. She never knew anything but royal life, royal opulence, nice food, servants, She had everything. She grew up as the daughter of King Janaka, and he was a powerful king. She had everything a princess ever wanted and more. And then when she married Ram, she had the same and even better in the kingdom of Dasara. Now her husband was leaving. She could have said, oh, only 14 years, Prabhu. All right. You know, just write me a letter once in a while. Just tell me how the forest is. And, you know, if you want, I'll send you a package. But she didn't say that. She basically said that, you know, the forest is like Ayodhya with you, and then Ayodhya is like the forest without you. Basically what she said in so many words. So she wanted to go to the forest to be with her husband. This is one of the main principles that is being mentioned in the Ramayana. The faithfulness and chastity within the marriage. How that is such glory, how much glory that actually brings to both personalities. It's very difficult in this age. It is extremely difficult because of the challenges in Kali Yuga. To keep that faithfulness, that keep that responsibility, to keep that dedication, to keep the qualities that make the relationship work. It's very difficult in this age. But Sita is an example. She didn't have to go through all of it, but she was teaching all of us the duty of a chaste wife. And Ram is teaching us, as time goes on in that particular Lila, the duty of a responsible and caring husband. What he had to go through to give her protection and whatever else she needed. So, this is reverses in life. Now, and Sita, they wanted to give her a tree bark. They had come with tree bark. Kaikeyi actually brought the tree bark. Here you go. Here's your new outfit. It's the latest fashion. And, you know, Ram put on his tree bark, and Lakshman put on his, and was no problem. But Sita couldn't even figure out which way it goes on. You know? She was lost. She was overwhelmed with confusion. And they had to show her. I mean, so, and you know, you could see Dasarath and everyone, everyone's heart is breaking. I mean, their hearts are not only breaking, they're devastated. Seeing Ram and Lakshman and Sita going into the forest, they're beyond themselves in emotion. Ram left. Of course, it's the details of that leaving is would take about 2 hours just to explain them leaving, how hard it was to leave, how the citizens didn't want him to go, how even the chariot driver Sumandra wouldn't drive the chariot. He didn't want to take them out of. And Ram was saying, go, come on, go. He wasn't saying like that. He was actually nice. But anyway, I'm just giving a little emphasis. And the citizens were saying, slow down, don't go. So, you know, imagine what Sumantra was going through. He had such pains in his mind. The citizens were criticizing him for taking Ram and Sita and Lakshman into the forest, and Ram is forcing him to go. You ever been in that situation? Caught between two very powerful, so we say, forces, one each pulling a different way? I think maybe sometimes in our life we have to make decisions that are really difficult. Really, really difficult sometimes. And what do we do? We can only pray and try to find within our own self, guided by the Lord and the spiritual master, what is the best way. Finally they left, but the citizens wouldn't allow them to leave. They said Kaikeyi can have the whole kingdom and Bart can have, they can have it all to themselves. They can rule an empty city. We're all going. Millions of citizens. They closed their shops. They closed their... They stopped all the worships in the temple. Everything stopped. And they were just following Ram, Lakshman, and Sita to the forest. Dasarath too. And Ram kept telling him, go back. Go back. Just go back. Bart is your king. He'll rule nicely. I'll be back in only 14 years. Does that sound like a long time? 14 years? I guess for some of it is a long time. It sounds very long, for me anyway. I can't even remember what I did 2 years ago, what to speak about 14. And the citizens followed. Of course, it's a long story, how he met the king of the forest, King Guha, how he welcomed Ram and his entourage, gave them a place to stay, taught them how to live in the forest. And the citizens were following. Finally, the first night when they slept, Ram was thinking, the citizens have to go back. This is not good. How can I go? I'm supposed to go into the forest in exile, and now the whole city is coming out with me. What's the use of being in the forest? This is not the forest anymore. So he was thinking what to do. So he woke Lakshman up in the middle of the night and he said, call Sumantra and Sita, we're going. So in the middle of the night, they escaped. Sumantra got onto the chariot and drove in such a way that they didn't leave any chariot wheel tracks. He went through low, shallow water, came up, once doubled back. And when the citizens woke up, they went to see Ram, but they were gone. They were gone. Everybody was mortified. Sometimes the Vaishnavas say, if you snooze, you lose. Don't sleep. Alertness in spiritual life. If one is inattentive or lazy, then one will lose the opportunity for spiritual advancement and the opportunity to get the mercy of the Lord. So this part of the pastime indicates that one should always be very alert to keeping our consciousness in devotional service. Of course, after some time, Bart came back. When Bart came back, he heard about what his mother had did, and he was furious. First, she was so happy. She said, Bart, I have good news for you. You're going to be the king, the prince regent. And she tried to make it sound like it was something that she was actually feeling. He's going to love to hear this. He's going to be so happy that he's going to be the king. When Bart heard that, he was mortified. He couldn't believe it. He said, what did you do? When he found out where Ram was banished to the forest, he practically disowned his mother. He was about to beat her up, but somehow or other he didn't. Because it was his mother and she's a woman. But she couldn't believe it. She thought, why isn't he happy? I made all these arrangements for his kingdom. And now he's... And Bart was completely opposite. He said, you and Mantara, you can rule this empty kingdom and all the trees in it by yourself. I'm leaving. I'm going to the forest. I'm going to take up the vow that Ram took for 14 years, and I'm going to send Ram back to rule the kingdom. That was his sacrifice. He had the opportunity to take over the kingdom with no problem. But his love for righteousness and his love for Ram was so great, he didn't even think about his personal position, power, influence, and all the facilities that would have came with that. Amazing. Amazing. Think about that. If we're tempted in a situation, just like there's a story in our Hare Krishna movement, which I'll just divert for a second. I'm sure you all know the story. It's about one of our illustrious sannyasis whose parents were extremely wealthy, and didn't really want their son to be a Hare Krishna. Didn't want their son to be a Hare Krishna. So this boy, this devotee, was a brahmachari serving Prabhupada in India. His name was Giriraj Brahmachari. Now his father was a high court judge in Chicago. And he came to see what his son was doing in India. And his mother also came. His mother was mortified when she saw him because he was so skinny. And she said, "You're not even eating right." Prabhupada said, "You can eat whatever he wants, you know." Prabhupada was very relaxed, very friendly. The father said, after hearing and seeing the situation, he offered Prabhupada $1 million. Now that was 40 years ago, almost 40 years ago. That's a lot. That's a lot more than $1 million today. Way more. And he offered $1 million to his son also. "Please come back home and be a nice boy. Get a good job and he'll give you everything you wanted." Prabhupada said, "You can ask him. There he is." Prabhupada didn't try to stop it, you know. Giriraj wasn't interested. He was a simple brahmachari working in an area with infested mosquitoes, trying to build the temple in Bombay. So much difficulty, so much hardships. And he was offered a nice position. He said no. And you know, he told me, this was interesting, he told me a year before his father passed away, which was around the year 2000, 2002, he told me, he said, "My father again offered $1 million a second time." At that time he was Giriraj Maharaj. That's how determined his father was to try to bring him back. But still, not persuaded, or not, what we say, attracted to the facilities that money could bring. Bart was not at all moved by anything. All he was concerned about, why is Ram being banished in the forest? I'll take his place. He's actually the prince regent. I am his servant. He traveled all the way into the woods, into the forest to find. He brought his armies with him. When Guha saw the armies, he thought, "Oh, here comes Bart to challenge Ram. He's not happy by being the king of the world. Now he wants to destroy Ram so he has an unrivaled supremacy." Finally, that was clarified. And then Guha showed Bart where Ram was. And Bart came. Lakshman said, felt the same way. When he saw Bart come, and he was thinking, "Here he comes. He's going to attack. Let me handle him alone." Ram could understand that this Bart's intention was not that. Lakshman couldn't understand, but Ram pacified Lakshman. The meeting between Bart and Ram is so wonderful. It's so deep. Their love for each other, their respect for each other, their concern for each other's welfare. Bart pleaded with Ram, "Please come back, take the throne. I'll never rule that kingdom. Even if you don't take it, I won't take it." That's the sense of righteousness. You might say, "Okay, out of default, I'll take it." But even want it out of default. That was his love for Ram. So deep. And finally, Ram convinced him to go back. But he said, "I will not rule the kingdom directly. Here, take these shoes. I brought these shoes. These are the shoes of the king, the future king. Put your feet in these shoes." And he did. And he took those shoes and put it on his head. And he installed those shoes in the kingdom. And Bart stayed in a place called Nandagram, which is a little distance away from the actual kingdom. And he put on, he lived practically like an ascetic himself. He would send messages when people asked him about how to rule the kingdom. But he was simply taking barley cooked in cow urine. That's all he took for the time that he was there in Nandagram. We had the good fortune when we went to visit Ayodhya in the year 1999 to go to that area. We saw the place where Bart stayed, a little cottage. It's not like a cottage, it's like a little structure where he actually lived. There's a pond there. Very remote, very simple. He didn't want any of the royalty at the expense of what we say the travesty that was committed on his behalf. And so he ruled like that and waited for Ram to come back. The story goes on. There's so many wonderful pastimes. I guess one of the most powerful of all pastimes. Ram's chivalry is amazing. How he, although in the forest, all he had was sword, quiver, some armor, and his bow and quiver, and bow and arrow, bow. But he was attacked by 14,000 very powerful rakshasas, which were the servants of Ravana. That's a wonderful story. How he destroyed those rakshasas, some of the most powerful, single-handedly. There's a place, it's known as Nasik. Haven't you been to Nasik? Yeah, it's a wonderful place. There's a place called Panchavali. Have you been to the tunnel? Has anybody been to that tunnel where Sita was kept? There's a tunnel, it's beautiful. It's a little store now, but you go in the store, and then there's this tunnel. And you go in this tunnel, and you go down and around. It's pretty long, and you come up on the other side. Sita was kept in that tunnel and guarded by Lakshman when those 14,000 rakshasas attacked. Ram didn't even take the help of Lakshman. He dispatched all these soldiers himself. And, of course, we know the story beforehand about Suparnika. She was Ravana's sister. She was ugly personified. She was so ugly that the word ugly is beautiful compared to her. Something like that. And, you know, she decided, you know, look at that. Beautiful personality with such powerful arms. He's got to be my husband. You know, being of the family of Ravana, getting whatever you want whenever you want it. She was thinking like that. So she changed her form into a beautiful lady. And she came and immediately he said, actually, why are you living in this forest? Why don't you come with me and sport in the heavenly realms? I can show you sensual delights that are beyond your imagination. Sounds pretty good, huh? No, not for devotees. Devotees are not interested in that stuff. Just checking. But, but she was just, you know, giving him the best of all opportunities to enjoy. Ram's, and she said, this is your wife? She's so skinny. And she's not very good looking either. Look at me. She wasn't at all proud, was she? And Ram said, actually, you know, I have a wife, but my brother doesn't have one. So you're a suitable bride for my brother. Actually, he did have a wife, but he left her back at Ayodhya. He was married. And so she came and started to make the same proposal to Lakshman. And Ram was just joking with her. And then Laxman picked up on the joke because they were having fun with her. So he came back and he said to her, well, actually, I am the servant of Ram. And if you become my wife, then you have to be the maidservant of Sita. And that'll be second class for you. And you're so qualified. You shouldn't be second class. You should actually be the husband, the wife of Ram. She pushed him back. And then she went towards Ram and she said, if this skinny girl, referring to Sita, is the cause of me not being with you, then watch what I do. She ran after Sita, and then Ram became alarmed and looked at Lakshman and said, do something. And immediately shot his arrows and gave her a facial uplift, made some nice contoural changes in her structure, and he gave her no nose and no ears. The place Nasik is called cut nose. That's what the word Nasik means, cut nose. It's the place where that pastime happened. And so she was just screaming like a wild woman, and then running, she just ran away, and her hideous form came back after that happened. And that's when she alerted all those soldiers who attacked. But then again, after Ram dispatched all those soldiers, she went to her brother, Ravana. When Ravana saw her situation, he was kind of concerned, and she explained that actually there's a beautiful woman that actually is meant to be in your harem. And she's the wife. And this person is the person who has destroyed your entire army. Three powerful generals, Dushana, Kara, and Trishira. Three very powerful generals were killed, and 14,000 Rakshasas. Ram couldn't believe it. I mean, Ravana couldn't believe it. These were invincible soldiers. But then she started to talk about Sita, and she influenced his mind in such a way that he became somewhat attracted. And she just said, you know, she should actually go and somehow or other make Sita part of your harem. She convinced him. So he went to Maricha. And he's thinking, if anybody can help me, because when he heard how powerful Ram was in destroying those soldiers, he was a little cautious. He was thinking, maybe it's not so easy. So I need the help of my mystic demon, Maricha. So he went to Maricha. And Maricha was retired. He was on the unemployment line. He quit being a demon. At least he wasn't active anymore. And Maricha was there. And then Ram said to Maricha, actually, I have some seva for you. Maricha was surprised to see Ravana come. He greeted him, welcomed him nicely, said, I don't never see you outside of Lanka. What are you doing here in this very remote area? He said, I need your help. You're the best of all mystics. I need you to do some seva for me, to attract, you know, Sita, the Ram away from Sita. And he described the whole situation. Maricha said, suicide. Ravana, you don't know what you're talking about. This personality you're talking about, he actually is Lord Vishnu. Maricha actually had that understanding. Because somehow in his heart, when he got hit with that arrow that knocked him 800 miles into the ocean, he realized that this is only the Supreme Personality of Godhead could possibly do that. So he was no longer active because he was afraid of Ram. And when Ravana made his proposal, he refused. Ravana left. But Ravana came back again after being again prodded. And this time he threatened Maricha, unless you do it, you should change your form into a beautiful deer and attract the mind of Sita in such a way that Ram will want to have that deer for Sita. And he said, if you don't do it, I'll kill you. And so Maharishi was thinking, well, if I don't do it, I'll be killed by you. But if I do do it, I'll be killed by Ram. So at least I'll get liberation. Not much of a choice. And so he unwillingly accepted the seva and turned himself into such a beautiful deer. It's described. His face was both white and black crystals, two different color crystal colors. He had a beautiful, beautiful white sheen on his body. He was mixed colors, translucent with different kinds of... It was nothing that anybody ever seen. The most beautiful looking animal. Ram, Sita, and Lakshman were there. They were in the area of... that was Chitrakoot. No, that wasn't Chitrakoot. That was in the... what was the name of that mountain? Rishamukha Mountain. Yeah, they were at Rishamukha Mountain. And it was only 1 year left. And Sita, the deer, Maharishi comes prancing in front of Sita. And Sita says, oh, look, Ram, what a beautiful deer. Lakshman turned around and looked and said, this is not a deer, this is a demon. I've seen all, I understand all 8,400,000 species, and this is not one of them. He was just, he could see. But Sita was so, he said, oh, we can take the deer, we can bring him back to Ayodhya. Oh, he's so nice, he's so attractive, I really want him. Attachment creates traps and causes us to suffer. Right? Sometimes we're like that. We want something. And we know it's not even good. Or we may think it's good, but it's material. It's not necessary. Or something. And then what happens? We fall into the trap of Maya. A fly thinks that a spider's web is very nice. The spider makes his web very attractive for the fly. And the spider can walk all over his web and not get caught. But any insect that comes in the web gets immediately stuck because the spider makes that arrangement. So when we somehow or other forget the futility of material sense gratification and somehow think that I can enjoy this, and we open the door to suffering, and we open the door to disappointment, and we also close the door a little bit on our devotional life. So that's one of the messages. Sita was put into illusion, or apparently fell into illusion, although she's the goddess of fortune, just to teach us. Of course, then, wanting the deer so bad, she started to walk towards it. The deer started to run. She said, oh, Ram, please catch the deer. There he goes. And Ram went after him. The deer, Maharishi, took off fast. And Ram was thinking, this deer is really fast. And he chased it so many miles in the woods. But he said to Lakshman, don't leave Sita. If you leave Sita, it's very dangerous. Anything could happen. You stay with her. And Lakshman was there. And he chased that deer for miles, it's described. Miles and miles and miles. Ravana was waiting for the opportunity. He had disguised himself as a sadhu. Another message here. That Maya can take different disguises. And seem to be something that is not. Maya changes her forms to make look like, you know, just like sometimes we may think mistakenly. Sometimes we go to hear people who are not directly involved in devotional service, but have a lot of interesting philosophical and spiritual things to say. Wow, I never heard Prabhupada explain it like that. This is interesting. Yeah. Think about it. Yeah, right? There's so much stuff out on the market and so many other persons. I remember I was in New Vrindavan. This was many years ago, back in the 80s, I think. Maybe, yeah, it was the 80s. And some people dressed in some kind of spiritual clothes came to our community and started passing out flyers. And the flyers said that Kalki Avatar has appeared in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is about a mile away from New Vrindavan. And tonight he's giving a discourse. So please come and hear Kalki Avatar speak. You might just want to go to find out who this crook is, just out of curiosity. But none of the devotees went. And we were thinking, Kalki Avatar, he's a little early. Or maybe we're behind the times. Maybe it's that bad already. But no. So there, you know, it was so much pretense in the name of spirituality. I mean, I've even seen some of our devotees in some of our temples go to hear from other personalities. And then they find fault with Prabhupada. They criticize the process or find something that makes them, what we say, lose enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. So, Maya comes in different forms. Ravana was dressed as a sadhu. Indra did the same thing when he stole the horse from Prithu Maharaj. He was dressed as a sadhu. Prabhupada says sometimes scrupulous men, they dress as sadhus and they go to holy places because they know women go to holy places to find sadhus to get married. Because if you want to get married, marry a sadhu, right? But these, what we say, unscrupulous personalities take the form of sadhus and go and attract women away like that. They're thinking they're getting a sadhu, but they get more like residue instead of sadhu, something else. Yeah, that's very common in India. So, after some time, Ram realized that this is not a deer. And he shot an arrow. And he hit Maricha. And Maricha's plan was to call out Ram's name while he was dying, using Ram's voice, calling to Lakshman, Sita, help! Perfect. And because he had such a powerful voice, Maricha, that was his quality, his voice traveled for miles. And Lakshman and Sita heard it clearly. Amazing. Rakshastras. And they also have mystic powers. Even demons can get mystic power. It's not spiritual. Mystic powers are not spiritual. They're just ways to manipulate the material energy in order to achieve something very fantastic. So, Sita, when she heard that, she said to Lakshman, she turned to him, Ram's in trouble, go help him. Lakshman said, Ram can take care of himself, he just annihilated 14,000 soldiers, don't worry about it, he doesn't need my help. Anyway, I'm supposed to be here guarding you. She changed. All of a sudden, she became somebody different. It's amazing when you read that part in the story, how she started to find fault with Lakshman. When you have material desires or material attachments, your mind gets clouded and you can't see things directly. Even if people explain it to you, somehow or other, they're saying, this is not good for you. But you don't understand me. Please listen. It is good for me. You're in Maya. No, I'm not in Maya. You just don't understand. It's like that. So she started to say, ah, you want to stay with me now. You actually don't care about Ram. This is your whole program. You're after me, but I won't have anything to do with it. Lakshman never even looked above her ankles. He never even saw, he never even looked at her face. He was always looking at her feet. That's how much he respected her. That's how much he honored her. But she started to say things that were completely false. And she started to speak in such a way that his mind became really disturbed. He said, "All right, I know I'm going to leave. I'll go, but I know you're not going to be here. But be careful." I think in some places describe, he drew that vyuha circle. It's not mentioned in some Ramayans that that happened. "And don't go outside of this circle." As soon as he left, Ravana came. And he came as a beggar. "I'm hungry. I'm a sadhu. I haven't eaten in days. Mataji, please give me something." Let me see. Where is that? Yeah. That somehow or other, he was able to change her. Maya knows your weaknesses. Ravana found the weakness of Sita. It was her kindness. Can kindness be a weakness? If it's misplaced, it can be. Devotees are kind by nature, but sometimes a person will take advantage of the kindness and use that as an opportunity for exploitation. So Prabhupada would tell us, don't give charity to people who are unqualified, because they'll take that charity and use it for something bad. Or they could use it even against you. So, yeah, Maya knows your weaknesses. Even it appears to be a good quality, but if it's not directed by intelligence, then sentiment without proper direction can cause calamities. People have sentiment. Sentiment is a feature of love. It's a feature of emotion. It's a feature of good qualities. But if it's not directed by intelligence, therefore Prabhupada would always say, take intelligence from the spiritual master. Take intelligence from the shastras. This is where we get our direction. Our minds may tell us one thing. Our hearts may not be understanding. Therefore, it's easy to get diverted, and Maya is subtle. So Sita, somehow or other, in order to serve Ravana in the form of a sadhu, stepped out, and she was captured. She was taken away, up in the sky against her will. Jatayu came along. He saw what was happening. He was an old bird. He was a devotee of the Lord. He knew he couldn't stop Ravana. He knew the power of Ravana, but he chased after Ravana and fought with all his life. He couldn't stand to see someone being, especially Sita, being taken away by this demon. Even though he knew he would die fighting Ravana. He knew it. He knew he was no match for Ravana. But because he had such concern and such love for both Rama and Sita, he fought so valiantly that he even smashed Ravana's chariot, killed his horses and his charioteer, which was very difficult. He kept his integrity. He wanted to please the Lord. It says, it's better to lose and win than to win and lose. Makes sense? He apparently lost, but he actually won. What did he win? Eternal life in the spiritual world. Because when Ram came later on and realized what Jatayu had done, he said he has attained the spiritual world, not the heavens. Sometimes you hear throughout the Ramayana, they went to heaven. They got to the heavenly realms. They achieved the higher realms. But not Jatayu. He went back to the spiritual world. He was dedicated. He lost his life. He had integrity. That was his good qualities. Ramayana is so filled with so much amazing personalities. Before that, we have the story of Sabari. She was a disciple of a powerful spiritual master. Him and all his disciples went back to the spiritual world. He told her, "You can't come yet. You have to serve and wait for Ram." She waited years, picking flowers, making garlands, collecting fruits, waiting for Ram to come, only on the request of her spiritual master. She didn't know anything but his instructions. She had patience, she had enthusiasm, and she had determination. When Ram was ready, he appeared to Shrubbery. Not immediately. This is also another interesting point in the principles of devotional service. Patience. It takes patience to execute devotional service. Patience is such a noble and glorious quality. The society we live in teaches us to get or creates things that we can get immediate acquisition, immediate gratification, but not in Krishna consciousness. It takes patience. Patience is supported by determination, and determination is fueled by enthusiasm. To be enthusiastic and determined, but be patient. Shrubbery waited a long time for Ram. As they said, years and years. And her spiritual master and all her god brothers, they had already left the world. She was there by herself. But she had such faith in the instructions of her spiritual master and in the enthusiasm that someday Ram would come and I would greet him so nicely. She wasn't even thinking about what she would get by greeting Ram. She was thinking, Ram is coming, and I'm deputed to be here to greet him and to offer him the best of the forest. That's what she was thinking. She didn't want anything for herself. And the Lord blessed her, and she went back to Godhead. She attained the same position of her spiritual master. Devotional service takes great patience. It takes patience. It's one of the most difficult qualities to keep patience. Lord Chaitanya taught that principle and so many devotees. He taught it in Mukunda when Mukunda was told he couldn't see the Lord for 10 million births. Mukunda said, "At least I'll be able to see him, so I'll wait for 10 million births." When he was willing to show that kind of patience and determination, the Lord was pleased and immediately gave him his darshan. So patience, so important in our devotional service. But how do you develop patience? By associating with devotees and being happy in the process. If you're happy in executing devotional service, you're not really expecting anything. That's the idea. When we're happy, it doesn't matter. As long as we're feeling the happiness in devotional service, that's all. So how do we become happy? First, by chanting and by associating with devotees and engaging in devotional service. It's getting towards the end. There's so many more messages from this. There's two very powerful messages which I haven't really mentioned yet. And one is, of course, I'll fast forward everything. Finally, Ram comes and he meets Hanuman. Hanuman takes them to Sugriva, makes a pact with Sugriva. Then they decide that they're all going to help find Sita. Finally, you know, the armies went in different directions, and Hanuman, Sugriva, and Angada went to the south, and it was determined that Sita was in Lanka. And so they had to cross an 800-mile ocean. Nobody could do it. Jambavan, the king of the bears, he was there. He said to Hanuman, "You can do it. Don't you remember? You have the power to do it. You're Hanuman! Yeah, he told him. He reminded him. And that was the thing. He was cursed by the sages to forget his powers because he had so many powers and he wasn't using them correctly. He was kind of harassing his sages with the powers. And so, Janma reminded him, you can leap across the ocean. When he remembered that, he was ready for his service. He jumped. He got on to Mount Mainda, I think it was, yeah. And he jumped. It says he jumped with such power, all the leaves of all the trees came off. The trees came out of the ground. The animals were flying through the air. The rocks were going this way and that way. The whole mountain was being stripped of everything it had just by the force of Hanuman's jump. He went, whew! Of course, it was much more than that. And he just jumped. And then the god of the ocean saw him jumping. He was thinking, Hanuman's coming. Maybe he needs a little break. So he summoned one mountain from the bottom of the ocean. I forgot the name of that mountain. But anyway, the mountain came up and said, Hanuman, take a break. Today is Ekadasi. You don't have to work so hard. No, he didn't say that. He said, take a break. Have some fruits. Take some rest. Hanuman just said, thank you, touched the mountain, touched his head, honored it, and kept going. Then, Brahma and the sages and the demigods wanted to see Hanuman's power. So there was one kind of a Rakshasi, her name was Surasa. And she was given a benediction by Brahma that no one could pass by her unless they entered into her mouth. So Hanuman came and she came out of the ocean and she opened her mouth wide. She said, monkey, it's time for lunch and you're the feast and I'm hungry. So she opened her mouth to swallow Hanuman. Hanuman got bigger. She got bigger, and Hanuman jumped and went down to the size of a little, walked in her mouth and came out and said, I have fulfilled the boon of Lord Brahma, Haribo. She said, very good monkey, I bless you for your mission, go on. She let him. That was a test. The test was that in Krishna consciousness, you get tested just to see your determination, your enthusiasm. He was tested. We get tested all the time, right? I'm testing you all now with your patience just by this class, right? It's a test. And then he went on, he was flying, and then Simika, another monster, came out of the... She was fierce. And she was going to devour Hanuman. And she opened her mouth to swallow him, and he just went inside of her mouth and tore all her organs apart. And she went, screaming, fell into the ocean. Sometimes there's dangers in Krishna consciousness too, right? You're out on Sankirtan. You get attacked. You get arrested. It's difficult. Somebody steals your car. I don't know if that ever happens to devotees. Maybe you haven't paid your mortgage on the car and they possess it without you telling you. They come and take your car away. So there's difficulties in Krishna consciousness. There's obstacles and there's dangers, right? Sometimes we think there's many, there's dangers because being in the material world, there's so many dangers, right? I guess one of the biggest dangers is to go into the prasadam room and they find out there's no prasadam today. That would be worse than a calamity. Then you would really have to call Hanuman and get some help. So he just went through those tests. He was so determined just to do his seva. He had his mind fixed. That's the quality of a Vaishnava. They're fixed on their service. They're fixed on executing the orders of the spiritual master. It says that when one has that one point of determination, It is simply as good as seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Yasyasti bhakti. What is that verse? Yasya. Yasya devi para bhaktir. Yata devi tata guru. Tasyaifa pratite karta prakasanata mahatmanaha. One who has implicit faith in guru and shastra and is executing the orders in that way, seeing the Lord face to face. That's what it says. It's not an eulogy or a hyperbole. It is actually a reality. He had that faith. He was determined. And there's so much more, but there's one I want to say, and that was Ravana. The ultimate principle of ignorance. He had everything. He had so many queens, all qualified. He had wealth. He had power. He had influence. He had followers. He had opulence. He had unrivaled. He had everything. But he wasn't satisfied. He wanted somebody else's wife. And even at the advice of his mother, told him, "You're a fool." I mean, everybody told him, the generals, some of the generals, not all of them, but his brother, Vibhishan, even some of the Rakshashis were saying, you know, just be satisfied. He was warned in so many ways. But it says in the Bhagavad Gita, what causes a man to act unwillingly against his own best interest? And Krishna explains it as lust and lust alone. Comes in contact with the material energy and later turns into all-devouring anger or wrath. Ravana couldn't hear. All he had to do was give back Sita. He lost everything. The power of lusty desires. I could tell you a very, very, very powerful story in relationship to that. It's an ISKCON story, but I don't know if we have time for that. And the story is, should I end here? Huh? Should I tell the story? Yeah, okay. It's not a real happy story, but it's a message. We were at New Vrindavan back in 1973. And there was a Sankirtan party that would go out from New Vrindavan. And they went to one place called Louisville, Kentucky. And they met a gang of bikers. And the biker's daughter was really very nice. And one of the brahmacharis got attracted to the biker's daughter. Ooh. And something was going on, and then she told her parents, "I'm going to join the Hare Krishnas." And she left, snuck away. Not by her father was the leader of the gang. When he heard his daughter went to the Hare Krishna community, he came with 30 of his members, and five of them came into the community with guns and knives. And they shot up the devotees. Four devotees were shot. One was killed. And it was interesting. You know, I was sitting in class, and Kirtananda Swami was giving the lecture. And he was talking about the futilities of sense gratification in the form of illicit sex. As he was speaking about that topic, a shotgun came through the window right during the class. It was amazing. And of course, what happened after that, you can read it in Vyasiki's book. The whole story is there in his volume 2. It's described in detail. But it was that brahmachari who couldn't control himself in relationship to this girl, and that brought on havoc. Interesting. And that cost the lives of one devotee. Three other devotees were wounded. The whole community was devastated. It changed It changed the whole direction of our community for years after that because of that situation. So apparently some little attraction, some deviation in the wrong way. That's an example. Ravana was like that. Ravana had everything. But he wanted something he couldn't get. He wasn't supposed to have the wife of another person. It's bad enough if you chase after some woman who doesn't want you, but chasing after another's wife is a fast way to hell. Fastest way to hell. It explains that in the Shastras. So, anyway, devotees know that. So there's much more. I know we should move on, but I want to read something that Shruti Dharma gave me. And this is a little bit of a deviation from what we're speaking about right now, but it's about the nature of the Lord. And when Vibhishan gave up his association with his brother Ravana and took the shelter of Ram, he came with about four other of his associates. They were hovering in the sky. When Sugriva saw that, he said, "They have come as spies, as enemies. We should immediately capture them and kill them." The word got back to Ram. Ram could understand Vibhishan was not like that. And he spoke something in relationship to Vibhishan, and which is something for all of us. He said, "It is my vow." Vibhishan wanted to surrender to Ram within his heart and his life. He said, "It is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, 'My dear Lord, from this day I am yours,' and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on." Wow. If you just say once to the Lord, "I'm yours," then Krishna will take you back to Godhead. Might be a rough ride, but you'll get there. And this verse is spoken from Yudhakanda, 1833, by Lord Ramachandra, and it's mentioned in Madhya Lila, chapter 22, verse 35. That is the mercy of the Lord. If one says, only once, "I'm yours, Lord. Do whatever you want with me," then your life is perfect. It's powerful. That's the Lord's kindness. Thank you very much. Sri Nam Nomi Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.